you may have noticed the more observant among you may have noticed that there's no candle here tonight. Instead, the candle's up there. Okay. And the even more observant of you may notice there are pens down there. I'm just flagging that up, in case you think you're going to have an easy time of it and can just drop off to sleep now. Okay? See if I can get that's just about right. First slide, please, Eck. This is tonight's theme. God's prayers have power. We've been, for the last month or so, we've been working our way slowly through this book by Max Lucado, Unshakable Hope, building our lives on the promises of God. It's a good book. It's quite light reading, but it's very deep as well. It's a mixture of the two. And in it, he talks about how faith is trusting in God's promises. That's what faith is. It's trusting in the promises of God. And so we've been looking at some of those promises that we find in Scripture. We've looked at God's promise that the devil's days are numbered. We've looked at God's promise that we are heirs of God. That's a promise. And today we're looking at God's promise that his prayers have power. That praying is not just a sort of religious thing we do. You know, it is actually a causal thing. And I'll get back to that, because obviously we can't tell God what to do, but we can ask him. We can ask him. If faith is trusting in God's promises, then prayer is an act of faith. It becomes an act of faith. Because prayer is trusting that God hears, it's trusting that God cares, and it's trusting that our prayers can have an impact on what God does. And that's about as deep as we're going to get tonight, folks. Okay? But I'll just repeat that again, because it's quite profound. If prayer is an act of faith, then prayer is trusting that God hears. And I think that's why people find it, if people aren't used to praying together out loud in company, it's like you're actually bearing your heart when you pray. And people find that quite difficult to do, because it's like you're saying what you believe out loud. You believe that God is there. You believe that God is hearing you. And so you make yourself vulnerable. And yet, when we pray together, it's a sort of collective act of trust. Like, we're all here, and God is with us. But anyway, prayer is trusting that God hears and that he cares. He does care. And that our prayers can have an impact on what God does. Now, over the years, we've been trying to make Liberton Kirk a praying church. And that sort of has boiled down to all sorts of common sense things, like whenever we have a planning meeting, a business meeting, or a exploratory discussion or something, we make sure we include God by praying about it. And people have gradually over the years gotten into the habit of making sure that prayer is part of everything we do. But it's not just planning meetings and discussion groups and all that sort of stuff. It's actually just everyday conversations. And one of the things I love about the Kirkgate Cafe is that we have deliberately, from the very start, insisted that that's a safe place to pray. So it's not that we say, excuse me, we're just going to pray just now. We just get on and pray. And sometimes you come in there in the morning and there's people having a chat and suddenly you realize they're praying. They're involving God in the conversation. And what I love is that everybody just seems to carry on. No one, all these non-church people who are coming through the cafe, oh yeah, okay, that's just fine. So it's become, I'd hate to say prayer has become normalized, because prayer is something very, very special. But seeing people pray has become something more accessible. It's not contained within the bounds of this church building, for example, but it's spilling out all over the place. Prayer is acknowledging God's involvement in everything we do. It's also acknowledging that nothing we do will have an impact without God. That's what prayer is. We all know this. I was thinking about this when I was sitting, thinking about what to say today, and you know, what are the important things to talk about? And I realized I've lost count of the times I have preached or taught about prayer. It's, if you were to do a statistical analysis of all my teaching and preaching, and that is small group or alpha or you know, holy habits, or countless times I've talked about prayer. So I'm not going to do that again tonight. Okay? The gist of what I'm saying, I've already said. Okay, if you're asleep, you've missed it. You can ask someone else afterwards. I thought tonight we'd actually put some of all this into practice. And that's something we can do, because we're a small group, we know each other, and we trust each other. Don't worry. I'll explain. We talk a lot about the fact that prayer is actually a conversation with God, and that means listening as well as speaking. So tonight we're going to do both. We're going to start with a listening time, and then we're going to move on to a speaking time. So here's a quote from Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. When you think about a problem over and over in your mind, that is called worry. When you think about God's word over and over in your mind, that is called meditation. If you know how to worry, you therefore must know how to meditate. Here's a quote from Rick Warren. Prayer lets you speak to God. Meditation lets you speak to him. So, what? Lets him speak to you? Prayer lets you speak to God. Meditation lets him speak to you. Is that what I did? I say it the other way around? Okay. Just keep me right if I get things wrong. Thank you. I hope you've all got a pen by now. You're about to get a slip of paper. On one side of the slip of paper, it says in big letters, listening to God. And then in smaller letters underneath it, write down the thoughts that strike you as you read these passages from the Bible. Egg. Good. And these passages are all about God's promises in his word about prayer. And you may know of other passages in the Bible, because there's so many of them, you stumble over them. Lindsay and I were reading a psalm just from the congregational readings. Was it yesterday? Or was it this morning? And it was all about prayer. I mean, you just can't avoid God's promises in his word about prayer. And, you know, faith is trusting in God's promises. So I will hand out, and use these pens that you have, or, well, if you want to, just write down the thoughts that strike you as you read these passages from the Bible over and over again. And we're just going to spend some time doing that, listening to what God is saying. Can I just hand these out? You can just pass them around, okay? So we're going to do that for a while, and then we'll move on to the having listened to God, we're going to move on to the speaking to God bit. But first, before we do that, can I just pray for us? Loving Father, we believe that you speak to us through Scripture, that in the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, the words on the page come to life and speak into our lives. And so we ask that you give us open hearts now to hear what you might have to say to us about the power of prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. About 7 or 8 minutes, okay? Could you play some quiet music so that we don't... And if you want to find a bit of space around the place, don't feel you can sort of... You have to be hedged in. If you want to go and find a space in the other part of the church, as long as you can hear me, that's the most important thing. I get the feeling that I'm interrupting, for which I apologize. I didn't expect that I'd get that feeling. But I'm just amazed by the power of Scripture sometimes.
Here's a thought. If you've been writing down what you think God is saying to you, what are you going to do about it? I don't want to know, but that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. If these pieces of paper contain what you think God has been saying to you tonight, what are you going to do about it? But let's move on to the speaking bit of conversation. Have you ever wondered what happens to all your prayers? And have you ever thought most of them are wasted? Here's a passage of scripture that that challenges that thought. It's from Revelation chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. Or he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. That's Revelation for you, but it's full of such power, such powerful image. The reason I've chosen that reading is twofold. Firstly, because I've been working my way through this book by Eugene Peterson called Reverse Thunder. Okay? And the reason I'm doing that is because we had a sort of joint prayer meeting up at Fernie Hill Evangelical Church a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and Drew McRae talked about this book and how it's unlocked revelation for him. So I thought, oh. But Drew McRae also talked about why it's called Reverse Thunder. And the reason it's called Reverse Thunder is based on this passage from Revelation. And he tried to sum it up in his own words. So I'm not going to preach about it. I'm going to read to you Drew McRae's words about Revelation 8, which I found really challenging and really encouraging when it comes to the topic of prayer. So bear with me. The book of Revelation is a fusion of vision and prayer. When the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. A climax has been reached. It is in order to hear the prayers offered that there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. We live in a noisy world. Everyone has an urgent message for us. Messages are amplified deafeningly. The world is a mob in which everyone is talking at once. No one is willing or able to listen, but God listens. He not only speaks to us, he listens to us. His listening to us is an even greater marvel than his speaking to us. Not only are words taken seriously, but our minds and feelings are taken seriously too. When it happens, we know that what we say and feel are immensely important to him. We acquire dignity. We never know how well we think or speak until we find someone who listens to us. Out of the silence, action develops. An angel comes down before the altar of God with a censer. That's something that's full of incense. Okay? The prayers are not simply stored on the altar. Prayer participates in God's action. He mixes the prayers of Christians with incense, which cleanses them from impurities, and combines them with fire, God's Spirit, from the altar. Then he puts them all in the censer and throws it over heaven's ramparts. The censer, plummeting through the air, lands on the earth. On impact, there are peals of thunder, voices, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. The prayer which has ascended unremarked returns with immense force as reversed thunder. Prayer re-enters history with incalculable effects. Our earth is shaken daily by it. Notice, it is the prayers of all God's people that have been piling up on the altar. If you wonder where your prayers go and what God does with them, here is one of the answers. They go onto an altar before his throne. Not one God-exalting prayer has ever been in vain. What God wants us to believe about our God-exalting prayers is that none of them is lost. None is wasted or pointless. Not one is lost or forgotten. Not one has been pointless. All our prayers accumulate at God's throne in heaven until they reach their proper proportion, and then he acts. And he acts in accordance with his will to bless or to judge or to heal or to save any of a number of his perfect acts. So here's the bottom line for us when it comes to prayer. One, we cannot pray enough. Our prayers are stored up on the altar of God and made the power for great divine interventions in history. Who knows what has been wrought by prayer? Jesus makes it plain in Luke chapter 18, we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Two, concerted prayer is uniquely appointed by God in the accomplishing of his mighty works. God is sovereignly ordained. God has sovereignly ordained the corporate praying of a church such that his mighty workings increase exponentially and his purposes are accelerated when we pray together. So here's part two of the exercise. This is when it gets really loopy, okay? So I'm just warning you that. But I just thought it might be... I've been reading... I keep a file of all my thoughts on prayer, and one of them I countered was by, I can't remember her name, Sister Magdalene, I think it was called. But it was an interesting one about taking off your shoes. Why is Moses told to take off his shoes in the presence of the burning? Because it's a sign that he needs to devote his time to God's presence. It's a sign that he needs to leave behind all that is worldly, all that might distract him, and take seriously his time with God. So obviously it's a sign of other things too. But that was an interesting thought. So here's what I'm going to suggest we do. And if you don't feel up to this, don't worry. I'm going to suggest that on the other side of the slip of paper, speaking to God, you write down what prayers you'd like to leave on the altar of the Lord of heaven and earth. Which is why I've not brought the candle down there. I've left it up there. Now, obviously, that's not an altar. We're good Presbyterians here. That is not an altar. That's a communion table. But just for tonight, let's think of it as an altar. And when you've written down what prayers you'd like to leave on the altar, there's a basket there, okay? I mean, take a while to think about those prayers. We're going to sing our closing song, which is about the greatness of God, the splendor of the King. In the middle of that time of worship, Susan's going to keep on playing quietly. But could I ask you, if you want, to come forward, take your shoes off, and come and place your prayer on the altar of the throne of heaven. And there's a microphone up here, which I'll put on, and it works. There we go. If you want to read them out, so much the better. If you don't, that's fine. But that'll, there'll be plenty of time to do that, and then we'll finally finish off the song. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? And if you don't want to do this, don't worry. You don't have to do it. So I'll leave the microphone on just beside this. If you want to use it, please feel free to use it. And let's just take some time thinking about what prayers we would like to leave on the altar of the throne of heaven. So we'll probably need a wee bit more music. And before we do even that, again, let me say a prayer myself. Dear Lord, prayer is your precious gift to us. So please inspire our hearts now to speak our what we would really love to see happen and place it before you, knowing that none of our prayers are wasted. Guide us through this time. In Jesus' name, amen.